You say it's your birthday. Well, it's my birthday too. For real. And I'm celebrating it with you. Today, I turn 45 years old and I can still kiki. Joining us to celebrate is my gal pal Vivacious from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6.
Listen as Vivacious chats with us about Charlie Hyde's lip sync challenge, Nina Bonina Brown's amazing transformations, and Valentina's unsinkable positive attitude.
And what would Vivacious drag act in Chechnya look like?
Caitlyn Jenner blames Ellen for unpopularity among the gays.
Judge Judy has nothing on the Telemundo Court TV show Caso Cerrado.
And we're excited to announce we're taping another live podcast at the Austin International Drag Festival in November. Come join us.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh.
Attention all non-basic queens. Attention all non-basic queens. Show how fierce and fabulous you are with our drag queen-inspired t-shirts.
Reading is fundamental.
Hunty.
The shade is strong with this one.
And Shantae. Fabulous fashion for guys and gals with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Available at feastoffun.com/store. Hey, guess what, Fausto?
What?
Today's a big holiday.
It's Easter.
And it's also your birthday.
That's right, bitches. Party! In the PG sense.
How old are you now on Grindr?
I'm 33 years old on Grindr.
And how old are you in real life?
Well, according to Google, if you search, how old is Fausto Fernos? The official answer is 45.
Oh.
Which may or may not be right. Suck it, bitches. You don't really know.
No one will ever know.
Honey, I'm 45 and I can still kick it. Woo!
I think that's officially middle aged now.
I am, yes. AARP is sending me stuff. And instead of death drops, they're just waiting for me to drop dead.
You can still do some, I'll teach you how to do some death drops.
But honey, it's like, just because the odometer is rolling forward don't mean you can be sexy and still got jiggy action.
Oh yeah.
Although if I say jiggy, people roll their eyes immediately. They're like, that's from the 90s. That's history.
That's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air era, isn't it?
Well, I say Will Smith is still getting jiggy with it.
Oh, yeah.
He's still got heat.
And he's not your age, right?
I think he's actually older than I am.
Yeah, he might be.
Ricky Martin, older than I am.
I think around the same age.
No. He is the same age as my sister. Mm. Let's remind that because they were in the same class.
He, like you, lies about his age as well, right?
Yeah, but he has a publicist to do it. I got to hack Wikipedia myself.
I can start
myself.
Lying for you. I did say, how old are you on Grindr? So
33, like Jesus, baby. My celebrity birthday is April 1st, 1984, because it's the George Orwell's 1984 is easy to remember, and April Fool's Day. Simple to remember, right?
That's right.
And so for the longest time on Facebook, people on April 1st were like, happy birthday, Fausto. And I'm like, who? What? What? Oh, yeah, that's me.
Did you get some nice birthday wishes?
I sure did. All my friends and family and old tricks all, knocking on my door saying, hey, girl, you look good.
So what's the secret of being 45 years old and looking good and being the best you possible?
I'm still trying to figure it out. Don't give up and take some naps. Alcohol, man. I love me a good white wine sangria, especially in the Cooking with Drag Queens. You guys have all been watching them. I usually am the one who gets drunk fastest and the soonest on the show. And, but I really try to limit my alcoholic beverages as much as I can and take a nap, exercise and, eat like one of those competitive bodybuilders. Just don't eat as much. But the same foods that they eat, are actually really good for you, like lean cuts of meat and high grains. Whole grains and rice and potatoes,
fresh vegetables,
salads, shit like that. Take naps.
Stay away from processed foods and high sugar items.
And one thing
when we do Cooking with Drag Queens, it's really hard because we're always tasting those Barbie cakes.
That Barbie cake almost killed me.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
And then after that, we made some Wiener Schnitzel, and it was like, oh my god.
And as you get older, you know, surround yourself by good people, intelligent people, wise people, funny people. Mm-hmm. You know, you are a creature. Human beings are social creatures. And, you know, adopt a dog, adopt a cat, and bring lots of love into your life. That's all I can say. You know, you guys are out there who are listening to this show. You're probably doing all the right things already, including, you know, listening to high quality programming like Feast of Fun.
Oh, yeah, because here you learn things, and learning is so important for your brain because it keeps you active and it keeps you healthy.
Yeah, we're like a tilt-a-whirl of queer fun shit, you know. And so, you know, I decided I wanted to celebrate my birthday taping a podcast and went to the gym, and this is what we're doing. I went to the gym earlier.
Right, and then we had some nice food.
Yeah, sushi.
Mm-hmm. And instead of cake, you opted for a healthy moki ball.
Is that really that healthy, or is just the portion size was really small?
Or small. Well, there's still a couple more in there. You can have some.
Oh, girl, I'll be eating those afterwards. You know what I'm saying? My husband.
Well, if you don't eat them, I will.
You know, usually it's time for my daily conversation, my daily dose.
This is the thing, folks.
Of Vivacious.
Faustus on his commute probably talks to Vivacious. How many hours a week do you feel like you probably talk to Vivacious? At minimum,
it's not that much. We're friends.
Minimum an hour.
Of all the girls that have been on RuPaul's Drag Race, I have never met somebody so that I jive with, and I really admire her beautiful mind and all the things. And you guys love her. I mean, when she comes on the show, it's a hit.
I think it's because you guys are both from islands. You guys have your island boys.
She's from Jamaica.
And you're from Puerto Rico.
And I'm from Puerto Rico.
There's something about that Caribbean that has bonded you two.
It's the coconuts, honey.
Is that what it is? You put the lime in the coconut and you shake it all up.
Yeah. I think it's the lime. Have you ever had a lime in a coconut?
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, it's thirst quenching. I have some coconut water right now.
Mm.
Coco frio. And I put a little shot of rum in there because, you know. It is my birthday after all.
Even though you just told people not to drink.
Don't do what daddy does. Do what daddy says. Mm. No, Vivacious is actually calling me on the phone right now. Should we?
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Better hope for better Christians.
Hey, Vivacious. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Did you always just kill a cockroach with that fan?
Yes, honey. That was called the Pepper LaBeija Slam, honey.
Mm.
Now, there's been a lot of controversy in the drag universe. Mostly the last episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, they sped up the runway. They actually sped it up like almost twice as fast.
It became, instead of a runway, a quick fashion montage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A one-minute walk turned into less than 15 seconds. I think the whole universe gagged on that one.
Did you like it or did you not like it?
It went by so fast that it took me 2 days to realize it's like, it was so shooketh-ly fast that it actually made it created a time ripple in most people's brains that we didn't even it even made us went back a few seconds and forgot. I don't even remember what RuPaul wore because that sped up montage completely threw me for a loop.
I think she wore yellow, did she not?
She wore a very controversial dress,
but I thought I didn't mind that they didn't walk the runway at all very much. I thought it moved along much quicker. We got to see what everybody was wearing. And most of these outfits, come on, let's talk. These outfits were pretty basic. They didn't really deserve runway time. I got to say, the only person that really I thought looked fantastic on that runway was Shay.
No, I would say Valentina looked gorgeous too.
Hold on, wasn't that Nina Bonina Brown?
She looked great too.
Zombie hooker look.
Okay,
I mean that was probably the best look. Next to Vivacious is a viral horn outfit. That's probably my second most favorite look of all time of Drag Race.
She had. I mean, if you so what was very gracious of the show was. They were then able on Saturday to show smaller clips on, I think it was on Logo, that then showed a more lengthier version. A few fans decided to troll the internet and also found other clips that would stretch it out some more so we could luxuriate in it. There was also a couple of topics that were missing from the show that fans found and posted online, like they were talking behind stage, etc. And you actually got a chance to see how Nina Bonina Brown somehow was able to snatch her body down to like almost a size 25.
Yeah, she made Violet Chachki look fat.
Well, it's just that those hips were so big, so it made the waist look really small.
Yeah, but Violet Chachki was only given waist. In this one, it made Nina Bonina look like she snatched everything from right onto the titty all the way down to her hips in the same size as Violet. It looked that the proportions was like, wow, you really went in on that.
Yeah, it was Madison Hinton hips, Violet Chachki waist. And who's that girl that we were talking about the other day on Instagram who has these giant tits?
Oh, Giselle?
Giselle, yes, from Las Vegas. Giselle. Yeah.
With a Z.
Giselle's tits, yes. It was very much one of those. I mean, she pulled it off quite well. And I think the thing that that threw a lot of people was, what she said, she was given a Tyra Banks zombie realness in face look, and you actually saw it when she was coming down the runway.
Oh, I didn't realize she was actually going for Tyra Banks out of makeup.
Oh, bitch, nobody told you to hit that low. I was rooting for you! How dare you!
Charlie Hides seemed to, when it was time to lip sync for his life, he just put his head in the guillotine.
You know, they raided the Bastille and they took all her cake. My philosophy on that is this. I mean, Mariah Balenciaga, my fierce sister from L.A., she made a little video about it. And, you know, I think half the world believes that if you knew you weren't coming on Drag Race to lip sync, then you should have given up the fucking role to somebody else.
Yeah, but the crazy part about it is on the first episode during the Untucked, she's just like, oh, I got to go practice because I have to go. I'm going to be up for elimination. I have to know my lip sync. And then so here she is in the first episode practicing. And then on the third episode, she's just like, fuck it. Something happened between that first episode and the third.
And that's why I want to talk to you about this, Vivacious, because you've been on Drag Race
900 years ago.
And, you know, you kind of know what that environment feels like firsthand. Can you sympathize with Charlie?
It has nothing to do with Drag Race. It has to do with drag. Drag is the art of performance. I don't sympathize with no one who puts on a costume and think that drag is a walk me around or come look at me fish type of a bitch. Okay. Your job is to perform. If there's one thing I hate on the planet is people who put on costumes and can't back it up. Do something.
And we've watched her videos. Like, she is really funny. She would have been great as Joan Rivers.
I'm sure her snatch game would have been fierce. I wouldn't be surprised if snatch game is this week coming up or the following week.
It is. It's coming the following week. She was one episode too late.
She was going to do Joan Rivers.
My philosophy on Snatch Game is this. Not Snatch Game. When it comes to performance, your name is G.I. Joe. In the early 80s, G.I. Joe fought on three fronts, land, sea, and air. And your performance as drag is supposed to be the same thing. If somebody's trying to tell you, bitch, my leg got broken on the stage, everything from your hips still move up, you start using that. Mm-hmm. If you break your hips, then you start using your hands. If you break your hands, then you use your legs. Mm-hmm. You have three different sections of your body, you can use them and still get the job done. And so to sit, I was like, yes, she had on high heels, but if you know you could not perform in it, and I believe that if you do take off your shoes for Drag Race, you should be eliminated, then bitch, get down on the floor and figure out a floor choreography, which is going to make you some fucking points.
Mm. Yeah. Well, do you think part of it was it like her not doing it? Was she showing contempt for what was happening?
No, it's called you not being a flexible motherfucker in terms of being a queen. I'm sorry. If you feel that your heels was that high, guess what? Trinity Taylor and most queens know that if you're going to like, for instance, when I was packing for Drag Race, not when Bianca sent me home, when I was packing to go to Drag Race, mm-hmm. you know. At that time, I didn't need help packing Bianca. When I was going to Drag Race and I was packing my stuff to go to Drag Race, I made sure all my shoes were performance stage ready, meaning that you're not going to put me in a situation where I'm going to be like, oh, child, I feel like a casket trapped on bricks and I can't move. Because my thing is this, I will fail every goddamn challenge RuPaul throws at me, but I'm going to lip sync you and outperform you to death.
I want to take a special moment in praise of Nina Bonina, Banana Fofana, Osama Bin Laden Brown.
Banana Fofana, Osama Bin Laden Brown. So Friday when I hosted, I had to host a monster for Drag Race, the viewing party. We were talking and we're like, Nina Bonina's name is a bitch track. And so if anybody tries to steal it from me, I copyrighted it first in front of, like, there's what, 300 people in the monster watching that show. Nina Bonina, Banana Fofana, Osama Bin Laden Brown. Boom. Nina Bonina, Banana Fofina, Osama Bin Laden Brown. Boom. She needs to go and make that track.
I'm ready for it. I will do cardio to that. The thing about it is like, I always feel like a good drag queen at her core is someone who transforms themselves, keyword transforms, into a beautiful but sometimes demented creature of her own imagination. And the thing about when I look at Nina Bonina, Fofana, Osama Bin Laden Brown,
Banana Fofina, right?
Fofina is her ability to take very humble materials, paper really, and glue it seamlessly into her face to transform herself into a Georgia peach or a zombie hooker or a silver spoon-headed alien with a big jewel on her forehead.
A few weeks ago when Beauty and the Beast came out, she decided to do two pictures of herself as Beauty and the Beast. The bitch came out as a white woman. Now, as far as I'm concerned,
I think she did those a couple years ago, but she reposted
Whether she did it a couple of years ago or she did it recently, she should be on the terrorist watch list for the CIA and the NSA, because there is nothing more scarier than a black woman who knows how to look like a white woman, and she knows the proper shades of crayons to paint that face to make it look like a real white skin. And I'm not talking, we're not talking clown white. She knows the proper tones on what to paint and turn herself into that.
Nina got to be careful because she could start a revolution with how good her drag is. That's a whole nother level of Drag Race. It melts your brain.
It's a whole nother. She is the first of her kind. And I've been saying this before episode one. Remember, I kept on sending you pictures of her creativity.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first black bitch, the first black child, beautiful, intelligent thing chasing homeboys. That's what the word bitch means. Or as Latrice would say, being in charge of herself. This is the first bitch that ever went on TV and showed that she knows how to play with colors. Colors. She has no, she might have some mental hang up on certain other things. She always says she's the crying girl of the season, but you might be the crying girl of the season, but I don't know any other queen on the planet whose brain is as free as yours. People can sit down there and say, oh, she's the messy version of Acid Betty. Bitch, Acid Betty doesn't do what she does.
No, because Acid Betty always looks like something that was created by Acid Betty. And Nina kind of sometimes disappears.
Nina is the first drag chameleon, and this has nothing to do with cosplay. Other people can say that, oh, I can do my face like somebody else. No, they cannot. Nina is that person. Think about this. We've had two Ninas on the show so far. Both were iconic.
Who was the other
Nina
one?
Nina Flowers.
Oh, Nina Flowers from Puerto Rico, yes.
You don't know who that is? Google her.
Nina Flowers. Nina Flowers put Puerto Rico on the map, but Nina Flowers also changed the gamescape on Step Your Face Up.
She did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now here comes Nina Bonina, the black version, and she's letting us have it. You know, it's like she is doing things. She's not afraid of colors. She's not afraid of, you know, people keep saying, I want to see Nina Bonina. Nina don't want to see Nina Bonina. Nina wants to see everything else. And she has a point. She said those hateful ass bitches down in Atlanta didn't want to book her anywhere. So she decided to take her drag to the internet, her make herself more viral. And now the joke is on all those girls down there, because all them bitches are just pageant girls and they're stuck in a look. And here comes Nina Bonina using the internet to offset a stuck, codified style of drag, and look where it got her. It got her on the show, and I'm sure those girls down in Atlanta are like, I'm in the club, but honey, Nina's in the world now.
You know, and I don't know what her situation are, and we're actually like planning on talking to her in coming weeks on the podcast.
She will spill the tea.
Yeah.
She will spill the tea on that. I mean, you know, I believe she will. She'll let the cat out of the bag and tell you exactly how Miss Atlanta is, you know, because they have. It's like, if you don't have a certain look and if you're not doing this, they're not going to make sure you don't get a job. Well, guess what? She bypassed your ass.
Well, the other queen that I'm very excited about, and I just absolutely love her philosophy of life, is Valentina. And even though I say it's like she's been doing drag for 9 months, she's been a fierce sissy faggot her entire life.
Somebody said online, Valentina with a T-H, Valentina, because they're trying to get the real Spanish in there to just like drop it right on you. For a girl that's been doing drag for 10 months, hats off, tens across the board to her. I believe that before Valentina decided to come to the game, she used YouTube, she used Drag Race, and she studied the hell out of drag. YouTube is her teacher. I'm sure one day she'll probably admit that. But she studied and studied and practiced and studied and practiced. She didn't just put on drag and say she's going to come out on Halloween and try to be another fagoon in a dress. Mm. This lady studied. And the reason why I said this lady is because she's not your typical gay. This lady studied and studied and studied. She knew who she was from the time she started doing drag from day one. She knows who she is. Most queens have spent 15, 10 years into the game and can't figure out their heads from their tails in terms of who am I, what am I supposed to be, you know, in that sense. This lady, she is right in the mix.
And she's the only one that has the Virgen de Guadalupe behind her. She's got Santeria power.
I wouldn't say it's Santeria power. I believe she has sainted power behind her, because if she had Santeria, I'd be voodooing half those bitches and sending them packing. And she hasn't been doing that, because even when, you know.
Honey, a good witch doesn't reveal her spells. A good witch hides in plain sight.
Right. And she's been doing that quite well. You know, it's like, even though the show make it looks as though Aja is there, like trying to come for her, that's not Aja's spirit. But Valentina has found a way to rise above the negative and turn it into a positive and made Aja reflect back on it. And, you know, and Valentina's there for one thing, to concentrate on Valentina. She's not worried about the ooze, you know, the reeds and the shade and all of that stuff. She's not about that energy. To be honest, I think this season will probably have two Miss Congenialities if Valentina leaves early and she's not in the top three. It's going to be Valentina and Cynthia Lee Fontaine. It's like both of those girls are Miss Congeniality.
Mm. But isn't Cynthia sort of disqualified since she already won the past season?
No.
She can win it twice?
As far as I'm concerned, if you came back, good for you, boo, wherever you fall. And if she's the nice one after season, then she deserves to be Miss Congeniality twice.
We have a Cooking with Drag Queens Baking in the Oven with Miss Cynthia Lee Fontaine that's coming to our YouTube channel shortly. Cynthia Lee Fontaine just came to Chicago for the Puerto Rican Pride Parade, and we followed her around and a very delicious Boricua taste of Cynthia with the community.
And so this was right after she did wonderful. Drag Race, but after it aired, but before she went on to do the second season or the second, you know.
Correct. Season 9. It was in between seasons. Mm-hmm. So we got a very fresh, very vulnerable, very beautiful portrayal mm-hmm. of Cynthia Lee. And I can't wait to show that to you guys.
I'm sure Roscoe's will be having her back soon also. So if she comes back to town, get one more from her. You know,
if they let us. One person that I really would like to get on Cooking with Drag Queens is you.
Yes, that's called proselytizing, honey. Getting out to Miss Chicago.
Mm. Of all the people that we get on the show, it's like people adore you and they love all your sensibilities and your perspective on this. And you're one of the most referenced, most talked about queens from any season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And you were only for... You were only on for 3 episodes.
As much as Charlie, right?
Yeah. Don't remind me.
You and Charlie were the same elimination order, just to keep that in mind. So it's not how long you were on Drag Race, it's what you do with it.
It's what you did with it. Well, you know, Charlie has she's got the stuff that she's, I remember watching some of her stuff from earlier back in the day. And I thought that that was, it's funny, kitschy, you know, campy stuff, etc. But I don't believe stuff like that translates to Drag Race in that sense. I mean, it can and it can't, because there has to be some language or some message. For some strange reason, it also looked like RuPaul was very underwhelmed that she just stood there.
I think she didn't want to give it any kind of like attention. You know?
No, you can't give attention to something like that. The sad part though about that is between whatever Kiki, her and Jujubee had a few weeks earlier, now everybody's coming out and going, "See, I told you." And I'm like, when I saw her standing up there, I'm like, oh, geez, they are going to vulture this girl for not performing. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know one single New York queen that is featuring the stunt of Charlie standing up there, because they don't see it. Yeah. There is not one single New York queen who can defend her because they're like, you're not a performer. As a matter of fact, I know a few places that have been like, we're going to have to probably renegotiate her contract because she wants X, Y, and Z to come and do a show. And they're like, we're not paying that. And the crowd is not going to be coming to see some stand-up queen that can't perform. So her not performing has actually painted her into a bad position. You know, at least when Jaden Dior Fierce left her season, which was season 7, people can say Jaden can perform the house down. By Charlie refusing to perform, it now makes clubs believe that we shouldn't book her, even if she is a live singer, because she can't perform.
Well, listen, Charlie's been invited to come on the podcast and tell her side of the story, and I'm sure she has a lot of legitimate reasons for what she did. She felt she was really, she was in a lot of pain. One statement that she made was that she had a broken rib and that she really wanted to leave.
I understand that, but here's the thing. You can act from the neck up, so I'm not trying to hear that excuse. You can still act from the feet down. I'm not trying to hear that excuse. Listen, I broke my legs many years ago before Drag Race, and I lied on Drag Race. They said, do you have any broken parts? I said, no. Meanwhile, I know that I don't have a left leg because it was broken. And, you know, because they want people on the show that have no, you know, pre-existing conditions in case you have to do something. But when I stopped, when I couldn't move my lower part, I showed up to that club and sat down in a chair and figured out how to use my whole upper body and do everything else and still get the job done. And I believe that as a queen, you know, you have to do that. I believe that, you know, it's like there are days when I will go out on a dance floor to perform and I refuse to. I will keep both my hands behind my back as though I'm going to do the jig. By the jig, I mean river dance, you know, the tap dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have stayed out there for 4 or 5 hours and performed just like that with my hands behind my back. And all the routine that I did for what I was doing came from my feet only with my head. You have to put limitations on yourself as a queen and push yourself to see what you can and can't do. And that's how you become a stronger performer, so that when one part of the body goes down, the other part goes, that's okay, bitch, I got this.
So one of the challenges on the latest episode of Drag Race was the morning talk show challenge, where one group got the amazing name Good Morning Bitches and the other one,
right.
Not Today Show, or what was it?
Not on today.
And you know, Good Morning Bitches did super well, probably because they had a great name, but also because they had some really good talent. Not On Today seemed like they had never ever been on a podcast, even though Peppermint's been on this podcast, and certainly Charlie Hides as well. What did you make of that?
I can't, you know, it's funny because somebody also pointed out in one of the reviews that they didn't even show that team, Not On Today, show them preparing. If you watch the episode again, they didn't even show them like running, doing a run through of what they were supposed to do. It's like they were ultimately unprepared, you know. It's it, you know, I guess it's a few things in a sense, but you know what? At least at the end of the day, Trinity Taylor defended herself. She said, "I call shade." To me, that was quite fucking fierce.
I know, like, you're in the court of law.
Yes, honey, I call shade. And the reason why she said that is there's a subtext of animosity between Eureka and her. And it seems as though Eureka is using Drag Race this season to try to find every time she can to take a dig at Trinity because they're both in the pageant world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what the show is kind of editing it to be. And I would say, Eureka, if that's not the case, please get ahead of this and fix that PR section of it. You know, Trinity's just going to let it sit there and let people go, but y'all decide, because that's what it looks like based on the show. But Eureka, if that's not your intention, get ahead of that right now. You have 8 more weeks to fix that.
She doesn't care. It's already in the can. It's too late. You can't give her any advice. It's already done.
Well, she's
going to be a bitch through and through, and she's going to ride on her until it's the end. Because that's all the show.
It's all pull a Fifi. I was edited. I don't know. Do something.
There's a t-shirt on our website. I'm not an evil queen. I just got a bad edit. Buy it, wear it, mean it. This is what I want to say, just that for any drag queen that's on Drag Race or whatever, if the channel or the publicist is telling you not to do any media, they're trying to sabotage you because they don't want you to outshine the top three. And if you look at Trixie and Katya, they completely ignored all the things, and they're the most successful queens of their season. And they didn't make it to the top three. And part of the reason they succeeded is because they went and did every press interview they could get their hands on. And whenever I hear some drag queen who's been on the show saying, "Well, let me just check in and make sure," and I'm like, bullshit, girl, you are answering questions on your Instagram. That is an interview. If you are like going on, you know, somebody's video blog, that's press and media. So for you to like say that there's some rules that you need to play by is completely bullshit. And you're just letting them control your future and your destiny. Once you're off that show, once you've been eliminated, your life is your own. You don't, they're done with you and you're done with them. You can move forward. It is your destiny. It is your career to do with as you please.
You're 100% correct, because even right now in my head, I'm trying to remember, was Trixie and Katya on the same season? Yes, they were, right?
They were. Both Bryans, the two Bryans, mm-hmm. Brian McCook.
And,
yeah.
Right. And who were the top three on that season?
I don't even remember.
There was Pearl.
No. Stop throwing shade. No, Pearl, who were the top three on that season? Pearl, Ginger Minge, and was that Violet?
Yeah.
Right.
You remember Ginger, but you don't remember that Pearl and Violet. A lot of people don't even remember that Pearl made it to the top.
No, it's true. You're 100% correct. Trixie and Katya are doing so much content on their own that the other names that are supposed to be the winners of the season has completely disappeared in the back. And the only person that's really stepping up in terms of the top three is Ginger Minge. And so, yeah, you're 100% correct. It's like you have to figure out the content for yourself. You know, I'm hoping coming this June, there is a reinvention of some black queen who came out with a stuck zipper on her hand with some white lady on her head. She's coming back.
I like how you talk about yourself in the third person as if you're scared to offend yourself.
I don't remember her name, but she'll be back soon.
Doing what?
Stronger than Helen of Troy.
Ornacia's making a comeback?
She's not making a comeback, bitch. Vivacious is making a comeback. we have things set in place, honey.
I heard Ornacia won't work with you anymore. You pissed her off.
Honey, please. She's right now underneath the bed picking cotton. Stop. Stop. Stop making up stories about Ornatia. If you're going to make up a story about Ornatia, say we heard she just came back from the glory hole and we had and they had to use tissue to wipe off her face.
Tomorrow, we're talking to Lee Dawson, a personal trainer, fitness hunk from Instagram, and also RuPaul's Drag Race nerd who remixes all those funny videos on YouTube. And one thing I wanted to point out to people who are saying, like, RuPaul's Drag Race done fucked up RuPaul's Drag Race, is that drag is all
RuPaul's
about
drag race didn't. RuPaul's Drag Race can't fuck up Drag Race. RuPaul's Drag, listen, RuPaul's Drag Race can't even fuck up drag. If it wasn't for RuPaul's Drag Race, half of these people do not realize that 8 years ago, no, not, okay, 9, 10 years ago, because we're about to walk in a season, we're about to walk into the 10th season. 9 years ago, literally all the clubs in America had stopped booking drag queens. They were over it.
But the point that I'm trying to make is that drag is about building on the ashes of things that have imploded or been destroyed by their own ineptitude. And you remember, they've been burnt and rise like the ashes of a phoenix and crystallize into the. Who was the one that said that?
Kennedy Davenport.
Thank you. Kennedy Davenport. And that, to me, that statement, let's say it correctly. It's like, she'd been burned. She rose from her ashes like a phoenix and then crystallized as the majestic creature you see before you today. And that's
actually, wouldn't that be the definition of Easter?
And that's Easter, right? And to me, that's what drag does so well, is like, it creates this like cultural state of mind where we sort of celebrate our, you know, incompleteness, especially as LGBT people, we're denied access to being full members of our society. And so we sort of create this really heightened reality that's really fun to be around. And no matter, even when you do wrong, even when you mess up, that can be a lot of fun. Like RuPaul's Drag Race speeding up the runway, even though that was kind of disappointing, was kind of funny too, you know? And I think in terms of like what we're going to see this season, you know, every season, it's sort of like, it reminds me of like when new tech products are released, the biggest fans are always like, this is the end of this tech company, and, you know, you know, and part of it is like when you're such a deep fan of something, you care so much about it, you get attached to the past, not realizing that it's people who are making these shows and the shows have to continue to evolve and change as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to remember this. Most people are like old dogs. An old dog, you know, doesn't like to do a new trick. And sometimes you have to shake up the foundation. I mean, remember when I think the timeline first came out on Facebook, how everybody freaked out and now they're not complaining anymore. Mm. It's like people freaked out that RuPaul's Drag Race was going to be on a Friday. People have now gotten over it past the first episode.
I don't know if I'm over it.
You're not over it yet.
I still miss it being on a Monday night.
Well, listen. Well, here's the thing. I believe that that's being corrected right now. You got to remember, it was a last minute shakeup to remove everything from Viacom and put it to get it from Logo to put it on VH1. So that was probably a last minute shift in the force in that corporation. But there's a reason why right now, as we speak, why audition tapes are being made. And RuPaul's Drag Race was only on the first episode when auditions for next season is going, is because by next season that they're hoping to put the show back on a Monday or a Tuesday to get the word out and put it back where it needs to be. So shakeups aren't bad at times. It keeps people on their toes.
Well, I think Drag Race in the past even aired on Wednesdays, didn't it? No. Yeah.
Yes, it has.
I think it was season 3 or season 4.
Right. Right. I think it was something like
Wednesdays
that.
Wednesdays are a drag. Remember that advertising?
I think so. And then it became Mondays are a drag. And then we had Thursdays are a drag for All Star, you know, so it was that type of a thing. So, you know, it doesn't kill that. I was like, actually, the day that maybe it should be on a Tuesday, give them a Monday to recover. And then Tuesday, everybody head out to go and see what's going on. It doesn't matter. I believe, you know, the ones who come, listen, It's like this. There will always be 10% people who complain about Drag Race. But for the 10% that complain, there's a new 10% that are willing to replace those people, because drag has gotten to the point where straight folks are liking it. In my season for Drag Race, I think for this season for Drag Race, it was the social media queens versus the queens who are performers. Mm-hmm. So Nina Bonina is a social media queen. Charlie Heights is a social media queen. James Mansfield is a social media queen. And a few other people are social media queens. Mm. And then it's them versus the other girls. So, and on my season, it was the queens who work in the straight scene versus, you know, not so much versus, but it was queens who work on the straight scene and queens that can, you know, move back and forth in between both sides. So on my season, it was like Adore, Courtney, Kelly Mantle, Bianca, and myself. I think we're the ones that actually worked in straight places. And it had nothing to do with drag. It had everything to do with drag, but we weren't afraid to walk out of our LGBT boxes and say, no, I'm working in straight places. You know, so each season, it's a new set of layer that RuPaul adds to the show in terms of what makes these queens unique from the season before or the next season coming up. And my season, they, you know, the world at that time, my season was the season where they were trying to cater Drag Race to middle America, the Bible belters, the Bible thumpers, the corporate children. They weren't ready to see some black child in horns coming out of her head with no wig. You know, you got to remember, a lot of people feel like, oh my God, you're scaring the crap out of me when they see a look like mine coming down the street. Like, what's that supposed to be? It's like, you know, it's like if they can't put it in a box to label it, it scares them. That's America for you. Whereas the rest of the world is like, okay, we don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I understand that's the reason why me being on season 6 was then for them able to go full fruitcase basket the next season and put on a face like Trixie Mattel, because all of a sudden, you know, I remember them trying to sit there and try to call me the ugly queen because I was coming out in spikes and I was wearing cat suits and all that other stuff. But then by the next season, they were like, oh, my God, it's Trixie Mattel. She's so pretty. And I'm sitting there going, girl, did you see that face with that makeup and all of those eyes and how far the cheek came down? It's a look and it's a brand and it works. But if y'all had done that in season 6, y'all would have been reading Trixie Mattel for filth. Y'all would have dragged her up and down the internet.
There were people that didn't accept her makeup, though.
Oh, my God. To this day.
We still get comments that I still don't understand
and
her
then,
makeup.
Which then Trixie Mattel also then opened up the door for Acid Betty. So by the time Acid Betty got on the show, they were like, yes, listen, there's a world out there who speaks my language. Mm-hmm. I go out all the time and I meet them, because not everybody on the planet wants to see a girl in a wig. And as far as I'm concerned, I do not want to be a girl in a wig.
You're an artist.
Yes, for some of these gigs, I put on the hair because it calls for, this is the side of town where you're doing a RuPaul Drag Race booking. But with all the straight clubs that I work in, they don't give two fucks or two shits about a wig and tits and hip pads. They're like, we want the club kid who we grew up with, which is the original Vivacious. Don't come in here with that girl shit. It does not. Listen, I worked in all these clubs for years, and there were other drag queens that thought that they were women. You know what happened to them? They all got fired. They all got sent home. There's like, come back with some art like Vivacious and we'll keep you and let you have your job. They were not interested.
Well, certainly, you know, Drag Race is gonna has a lot more tricks up its sleeve.
I think so, too. But I do think that there's one trick that'll never happen on Drag Race, which will be a full season of bearded bitches.
Do you like the photo? So the Austin International Drag Festival announced today that we're taping a live podcast in November.
Feast of Fun.
Our guest is going to be a child. Was it 8-year-old drag queen E? Was a little.
That's one of our guests is 8 years old. I don't work with children, Faustine.
Well, the reason why it's hard to work with children is because you have to watch your P's and Q's. You have to watch your P's and Q's around them. You can't be sassy and forward or overt to the left or the right. You literally have to keep it PC right down the middle, because there's going to be some Bible thumper out there trying to then turn you into you know, paint you into a bad position.
And Karen from finance, all the way from Australia, is going to be one of our guests. And I think Daphne Dumont's going to be doing a pretty little performance herself.
Ooh, I just might. I'm actually doing drag this Saturday night at the Call for the Six Queens One Diva show. And so it's six drag queens performing two numbers by One Diva. And that diva of this week is Aretha Franklin.
And so we combed the internet trying to find crazy, weird shit that Aretha Franklin's done. Mm. And one of them is she did a cover of, what is the song again?
I Will Survive.
I Will Survive, but it's, you know, it's late a period Aretha Franklin. So she doesn't give a shit. And she's just like,
right.
First I was afraid, I was petrified, I was like, okay, get moving. Like, she just, like, gives up on singing the song and she just starts scatting. And it's really funny.
Go online and find out all the queens that have ever performed an Aretha Franklin track from Drag Race. I'm sure you'll find one out there of me performing Respect. Oh, and that was way before Drag Race. It's online somewhere. Vivacious Respect.
I'm doing that, and I'm also doing Freeway of Love. The somebody else has picked Respect.
Oh, that was that was the host.
And, you know, the thing is, though, too, I signed up for it before I knew who the artist was. And so if it was Aretha, I don't know if I would have done it. But what the heck, you know?
Because I hope there's at least some queens of color in
there. I'm sure there are. Yeah.
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 Isn't it Coco Chanel in that show?
I think she's in the show, yeah.
So yeah, so she's our,
probably doing, like, Respect.
She's a big gal who's, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Mm. And she's got lots of sweet juice.
Mm-hmm. So did you hear that Caitlyn Jenner is blaming Ellen DeGeneres for her unpopularity among gay people?
Not because she endorsed Trump.
Caitlyn Jenner, please take the sword you create and fall on it.
Well, she has a new autobiography coming out, and she says that Ellen kind of drove a great divide between her and the LGBT community because she...
No, she did that herself.
Well, the thing is that what she is saying, though, is she was on the Ellen show and they videotaped her saying some things. You know, like she said, at first, I was not for same-sex marriage. I thought I'm a traditionalist. I'm older than most people in the audience. And I kind of like tradition.
Well,
and
it's always been a man and
a woman. Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah, she did say it. But she's also saying that she had also said more things that were edited out. So there was more of an explanation. So it was a very calming thing. And then Vivacious. And then Ellen went on to Howard Stern's show. And that's when she said it really became a problem. Because Howard Stern said that, you know, it was really weird that she would come on the show and not accept gay people in their marriage when she's trans and she should be kind of understanding of that. And so Caitlyn says that her going on Howard Stern was the real, like, the kick in it that really made it seem like doesn't get along with the LGBT community.
Listen, she can try to on Fifi O'Hara herself as much as she want, but Ellen is not to blame. Howard Stern is not to blame. Those were her words. And guess what? She meant it, because everything that she did leading up to the election reinforces everything that she has stood by from the first day she came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can sit there and say that you identify as trans, but you want to sit there and hold the view of women are inferior, men are superior, and you only support traditional marriage. If you want the rights of a transsexual woman, you have to see the viewpoint of transsexual woman. And that's called white, rich, elitist. I cannot relate to the poor people below me. So she created that language for herself. This has nothing to do with Ellen DeGeneres. Because I believe that if you say you're going to become a transsexual woman, I did not get up overnight and said I was gay. And even when I realized that at 16 in the middle of the night, when it first hit me that I was completely gay, even though I knew I was gay at five, when it hit me again at 16, I spent three years studying everything on AIDS, the LGBT movement, those who came before me, before I decided to step out into that world. So there's no way that Caitlyn can say that she just got up one day and be like, I think I'm a woman. She's been practicing wearing pantyhoses for years.
Well, yeah, she was on hormone therapy in the 80s, but went off of it.
Okay, well, guess what? That was her chance right there to figure out that she was on the wrong side of history. as I said, take your sword. The sad part is, don't let it fall into your heart. Make sure it falls through your mouth and your brain, because you should have thought before what you said.
Mm-hmm. Now we.
I don't have any pity.
Yeah.
Well, I have no pity on Ellen.
I think she's also putting this in her book because she thinks it'll cause an issue, and then people will buy her book. You know, and then maybe Ellen will have her back on to talk about it. But I don't. I think Ellen's might be, you know,
she's done with her.
She might be done with her, but she also might not be done with her, because, you know, Hollywood, it's like one of those things, people can be real shitty to you, and you just smile and be like, everything's wonderful.
It doesn't matter if Ellen is done with her or not. Mm-hmm. The rest of us have moved on. Mm-hmm. And what she's pissed about is that she has no platform, because every time she opens her mouth, we are in the era of backlaps right now. Mm-hmm. When you open up that mouth and you are not featured, they are shutting you down in less than 2.5 mm-hmm. seconds. And the reads come faster than speeding bullets on all social media mm-hmm. platforms. Mm-hmm. And she is in a position right now where no one gives two squats what she has to say. So she's completely burned out her straight Republican candle. And guess what? She never really had the gay she never had a gay candle, an LGBT candle, or a trans candle. So good luck with that.
Now, Vivacious, are you fans of like those courtroom TV shows like Judge Judy's or the People Judge Judy's or the People's Court? Do you like those shows?
I used to watch it religiously back in the day. Okay. I haven't really watched it.
Have you ever heard of the Spanish language one called Casa Cerrado, which means case closed? It's on
Univision. Cerrado?
Casa Cerrado.
No.
Casa Cerrado means house is closed.
A case is a casa. Ah. También.
Casa, yeah.
So anyway, no, they have, let me see. I don't know if this is real or not. Some
caso
people,
Cerrado.
Casa Cerrado.
Casa
would mean house.
Reading here, they probably spell it like casa.
Yeah,
so
that's wrong.
It's caso. So I don't know. Is that what the name of the show is? Google more about that show.
I'm telling you. It's hosted by Ana Maria Polo and it's from Telemundo.
Okay, so Caso Cerrado. Anyway, yeah. So there was they had a judgment, and it was a woman, and she was there, and she was being sued by a trans sex worker who the trans sex worker says that she was hired by this woman to please this woman's husband for his birthday. His 60th birthday was coming up. And so she was gave an erotic massage, and then he wanted more. And so she had sex with him. She stuck her penis inside him, and then the guy died. And she got stuck inside of him, and so she had to call the ambulance, and they had to basically pry her off of this guy. And they say that she's suing this woman because she says she fractured her penis during the whole thing, and so now she's suing her for, you know, to have like her penis fixed.
I love a good kiki. I've never heard of nothing like that before. I guess when he had that stroke, his sphincter muscle fully closed up and like snapped her in two.
Mm.
And Judge Judy won't go on RuPaul's Drag Race, but Caso Cerrado will go there mm-hmm. and get the transgender sex workers who broke their dicks pleasing these men so good they had a heart attack and died.
It really is about the scheduling of what they have to do, and if their schedules aren't open, it's really hard for RuPaul to get Judge Judy on the show. It really does. It really
Judge
is the scheduling.
Is so rich. She has so much money from that TV show.
Yeah.
That she's just like.
Well, I'm sure she'll also have money from her memoirs coming up too.
What are you doing Judge right Judy, now? Are you cooking?
Yes, I am. I'm actually preparing dinner because I just got in a little while ago.
What are you making?
It was already made earlier during the week, so I'm just I don't microwave things. I steam, reheat everything in steam only. So I'm re-steaming the rice and the fish and getting everything prepared.
What kind of fish is it?
Red snapper.
Mm.
And the catch of the day is snapper.
Schnapper. Yes, honey. The catch of the day is schnapper.
I heard you got a gig. Somebody told me you got a gig in Chechnya. That you're going to Chechnya to perform in a gay club. Is that right?
Yes. I'm at the club for the gifted in Chechnya. So far, no one has realized my tea. They actually think that I'm just a very Jamaican woman.
Okay.
What's going on? They have LGBT concentration camps in Chechnya?
They say for gay men, but
for gay men.
For gay men. So the thing is with that, though, when it's probably like, I'm guessing because how are they getting them through Grindr or whatnot? Are they probably just people that are I guess how would you say
gender non-conforming
probably are the ones that are the first to get rounded up or the feminine gays.
First they came for Valentina, mm-hmm. then they came for Cynthia Lee Fontaine, then they came for Aja, and then there was nobody left to lip sync for their life.
Right. The sad part about it is this. I don't see a lot of gays in this country being in an uproar about it except for the older gays. All these young ones in their 20s and 30s are extremely silent. And I'm very appalled by it because it's kind of like they want to sit back and expect somebody else to fight the fight for them.
Well, it's like people don't, you can't even find Chechnya on a map. It's like, what are people even supposed to do?
Well, there's a non-governmental organization that's raising money on, I think it's GoFundMe, to send paramilitary troopers into Chechnya to rescue the people, because it's not that many people. I guess it's like
100.
It's about 100 people,
and they're like in a building or something. And but so some people are escaping. And that's how we're hearing stories of it.
And so they're gonna do their best to get all these people to escape this building that they're keeping them in.
Here's the problem with that is this, though. I mean, a soldier can decide, "Hey, I'm gay. You need to come and rescue me too." It's like, how do you know? You know, it's like, yes, they need to be rescued. That's a known fact. That should be a given. And the question is, how do you do that without causing an international? And did you know that so far the only person that has called out the bullshit on all of this is Vice President Joe Biden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not.
He's the only one. He's not having it. He's the only one that has made a public stink about the Chechen concentration camp. Meanwhile, everybody else in all forms of government has completely remained silent. Mm-hmm.
Joe said, "I am disgusted and appalled by reports from both the Russian media and non-governmental organizations that authorities in the Russian Republic of Chechnya have rounded up, tortured, and even murdered individuals who are believed to be gay. When faced with such crimes of hate and inhumanity, it is the responsibility of every person of conscience to speak out to oppose this campaign of violence before it continues further." You know, we had heard reports earlier this week, and I was just kind of like, but it was kind of from dubious sources, so I didn't really think much. I was like, we'll watch this and see what's happening
Mm-hmm. Even Miss Merkel is quiet, and she's supposed to now be the new free leader of the free world. And it's like, what is your damage?
Yeah, Angela. Angela, what's happening?
Yeah, wake up, Angela. Wake up.
How do you pronounce her name?
Angela.
Angela. Angela.
Yo, Angela.
Yo, Angela.
Yo, Angela.
It's like, you know, she's quiet, know, and it's like, I have friends from Norway, and they're very pissed about this news. It's like, it's very disheartening, you know. The question is, it's like, how, you know, it's like, and every single, like, I would love to be the witness, as shady as this might sound, I would love to be the eyewitness for something major, catastrophic that happened, so that when the news crew came there or the police came there to try to get my side of the story, I would just fully hijack the news crew and start talking about LGBT issues.
Mm. You'd be like, hide your kids, hide your wife.
No, bitch, not like that. Not like. No, what I mean is this. Mm-hmm. You know, the news crews, they just love to come around to get the latest gossip, mm-hmm. on the latest shooting.
And they find the wildest person on the street, and that probably would be you.
It would be you, Vivacious.
But the sad part is, when the real news is happening, they're quite silent. And I would love to take that moment to go, why the fuck should I be interviewed by you when this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, but your fucking news station was silent? So guess what? I'm not giving you this interview at all.
Correct.
And I would love to, if it ever happens, I wish if somebody would be there with me with a camera on my end, so I could then send that up to YouTube and just blow them up, blow up their spots, because I don't see none of these news crews.
Girl, if you ever get on an airplane and they're booting you off, make sure you become friends with the other passengers that are filming you. The guy that got kicked off of United, he's suing them for like every penny they got, and he's probably going to win.
Well, I don't know if he will win, though, because he was asked to give up his seat. And when you buy a ticket, and especially when you buy a ticket from one of those third party vendors, there is a thing that say, listen, you have bought this ticket and you can fly, but we might kick you off the flight. And you have agreed to that.
You're not paying, and you're not even. This is what my dad used to say.
What?
Just because you sign a contract that says they can pull out a gun and shoot you doesn't mean they actually can do that. And he's taking him to the court,
right?
And United is paying the hard price of their arrogance.
And they kicked somebody else off too, a couple, right?
And so there's another couple that was going to Costa Rica for their wedding, and this is what the crime the couple did. The plane was half empty, and they just moved a couple of rows up.
From what I understand, though, that, like, from the article, like what United has said, that I believe it was
United's changing the story.
It's saying that, yes, these people did move, but they also moved up into, like, different seats, and they were asked to move back to their seats many times, and they refused to do it. And so they're like, listen, get off the flight.
Their story is that they moved back, and then the marshals came in. And
exactly. United is saying, girl, you should just film that.
The minute a flight attendant starts giving you sass, whip out that video camera.
But this is the thing. Don't fight with these people on the airlines. I'm not saying that the Chicago cops who came in, and it was the cops who actually roughed this guy up. You know, I'm not saying that what they did was right. I'm just saying for your own sanity, when they tell you to sit down, just sit down. Do it. You don't have to fight with these people. The thing is that when people travel, they get stressed the fuck out.
Listen, you got to fight for your right to party.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let me. Where's that horn? You have to fight for your right to tea.
And let me tell you, need a stronger fog horn, bitch. You need a leg horn over there.
And I will tell you, if you know, sometimes doing the right thing involves getting a bloody nose.
Well, guess what? Dr. Martin Luther King did the right thing. He got a bloody nose and a can of Pepsi and Sprite couldn't save him from any of that, or Coca-Cola. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, in regards to the United situation, I believe that if you paid for that, let's say if you did not have any extra money to rebook your flight because your bank account cannot, you know that this is all I have in my bank account. If I try to rebook that flight, I am in trouble. I'm not giving up my seat because some rich person on the upper tier needs to sit down. No, I paid for my seat. That's them using that white privilege shit, because what they do is they run an algorithm to figure out which person falls within that middle norm that they can pull that shit, that stunt on.
Yeah.
And then that's what they use. It's kind of like the Hunger Games. It really became that situation where we're going to use you as tribute.
Yeah,
and that's what they did. Unfortunately, fortunately, this time it backfired on them, and I'm very happy that they lost stock in the process.
Honey, that's why fly on Southwest, where they beat their competitors, not their customers.
Exactly. And that's why I use a Nimbus 5000, honey. That way I don't have to deal with nobody.
So I want to do a shout out to this little girl who lives in St. Louis. Her name's Aubrey. She is 3 years old, and she loves poop.
Aww.
She loves poop emojis, more specifically. And so when her mother asked her what she wanted to do for her birthday, she said, I want a poop balloons and a poop cake. And I guess they celebrated her birthday, and there's photos on CNN's website that has, like, poop emoji cookies and a poop cake with all these poop on it.
Sounds like a pretty shitty birthday to me.
I hope she grows out of that phase quite soon, because you have to remember, human beings are very unforgiving. Human beings like to punish people that are outside of the normal box. And for a girl that age, a story like that can follow her into adulthood, in terms of, remember, the worst years of your life are everything from the third grade up until high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that, these kids are people who will not let you forget that you did X, Y, and Z. And so it's in her best interest to not be put in that position, because, you know, I mean, think about it. There are so many young gay people that give themselves the labels of, you know, I don't conform to our male and female. And they try to go out there and create YouTube channels to try to use it as a platform to help make people aware. But after, you know, I believe that you can help people be aware of it, but one of the things you need to do, turn off the comment section on your channel, because these people then get socially bullied, and then like a year later, 2 years later, 6 months later, you hear that X, Y, and Z person committed suicide due to the amount of bullying that they were getting. Human beings are very vicious. You know, so if I was that mom,
and not be a nonconformist gender drag queen like yourself.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of strength to be unique. It takes a lot of strength, you know, and I believe that if you can survive through, like, at no point when I came out gay and my mother called the police to have me arrested. Yeah. And then, you know, which started 13 year war in my house when I came out the closet, a full 13 year war of fighting 3 times a day, every day. And at no point did I ever contemplated on killing myself. However, in all those scenarios, I contemplated on killing them.
How would you have done it?
Well, in the dreams that I had when we were fighting, I have killed my parents with a baseball bat made out of nails. I slit their throats while in the middle of a conversation. I killed my brothers. I killed my sisters. Like, these were the things, because there was so much rage and so much anger for the fact that they would not accept me. And every night I went to bed, I would have these dreams that would last like 6 hours straight off me. Just, there were times even in my dream that I killed them, rose them back up from the dead just to kill them again for not accepting me for being who I am. And the scary, now this is a funny part, the irony out of it was, guess what got me out of not killing them? Christian and gospel music.
Praise Jesus.
Here's a funny part. Christian and gospel music from the Sounds of Blackness, Michael W. Smith, and Keith something another singer that I used to listen to, and this other gospel contemporary group called Truth. And as far as my parents were concerned, that music was considered the devil's music in the disguise of Christian music.
So your family wasn't even cool with Christian rock?
No, they did not. Nope. If it didn't sound like the British Christian music that they grew up to, that old fashioned traditional, and I'm going to call it bullshit, to them it was considered the devil's music. And you have to remember something: Christianity is a very fucked up cult. It's brain programming and mind programming. When I was 13, so up until I was 13, everybody in the church liked me, but there's a saying in the Bible that when you hit the age 13, you're at the age of accountability. And according to them, that was the age when God, when young Jesus, whatever his name was, went into the synagogues back in Jerusalem and started preaching against the bribery and the adultery and the fornication that was happening inside the synagogues. And so in the Christian church, they also believe that that's the age that you have the right to choose to either follow Christ, go get baptized, or stay a worldly person. So because I didn't want to become like them, because I kept, as I got older, I kept on seeing the more evil side of the church in terms of what they would do to people, excommunicate them for the most dumbest things, go in the church and publicly out somebody and call them out on something, and then, you know, to then chase them or chastise them in front of the church. And I'm like, if that's your way of saying you're a God of love, I don't want to do anything to do with you. So at 13, all of a sudden, the minute I hit 13, the week after I came to church, everybody in the church stopped talking to me.
Mm.
And they would come up to me and go, are you going into instructions class for baptism? And I said, no, I have no intentions on it. And then they started throwing me more shade. And every time they would see me, they would have something very rude to say to me, or start yelling at me and start talking down to me for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I told my parents about it, my parents then pretended that, you know, we're going to talk to them and find out what did you do, because I was a very well-mannered person. And they pretended that they went and talked to the person and came back and said, Brother Singh didn't say such a thing. I said, yes, he did. And they would start to take their side, and they were trying to use that to force me to join the church. And so one week I decided that, you know what, after like about 6 months of them coming at me week after week, and we went to church back then 3 times a week. It was so almost every day I would end up crying because of these ugly fucking Christian people trying to do something to hurt me, hurt my feelings, or say something and talk down to me. So after like 6 months, I decided to go and join that instruction class for baptism. And then all of a sudden just stopped. It was in a sunny day. And then, so I did that at 13. And by age 16, I started seeing the more darker side of the church in terms of what they were doing to people on a week to week basis. So, what allowed me to get out of the church was this: I was taking martial art classes. My parents decided that since I had to skip a Sunday to take my black belt exam, no, at that time it was my brown belt exam, that they were going to stop paying for my martial art classes. And so I said to them, just remember, Saturday comes before Sunday. If you don't pay for my classes on Saturday, I'm not showing up to your church on Sunday. And they decided not to pay for the class. And I said, you know what? I'm not showing up the next day. They try to get up Sunday morning and force me to church, and I said no. And I fought them all the way. And that whole day, they went to church.
That they wouldn't pay for.
Right. If you don't want to pay for the one thing that makes me happy, I'm not giving you what makes you happy.
Now, a lot of people don't know that you actually, you know, with the fans, you actually can kill a person with it. Like,
well, I studied, you know, even after 16, I kept on studying, 21, 22, 23, finally made the black belt, kept on going till I got up to third degree. And in one of the forms of it is using the fan, the metallic fans, to fight against weapons. So I was able to get up to that part and kept on studying, and I was able to use fans to fight against weapons. So when you see me with a fan, it's not just a prop for, oh, she's here to fan herself. Honey, I'm the only queen that I know who actually is walking into a club with a full weapon, and y'all think that I'm just here to fan myself. I will take you out, and I don't mean on a date.
This is like, reminds me of the pilot episode of Wonder Woman from the 70s with Linda Carter, when the mother gives her they have a challenge, right? They put the bullet, the wrist belt, what are those called, Mark?
The bracelets, or the manacles.
And so the mother pulls out this gun, and they're supposed to be Amazons on an island. I'm like, where'd they find a fucking gun? Anyways, she pulls the gun, and she starts shooting him at her daughter with the bracelets. Thankfully, the bracelets work, and she's able to block the bullets. But the one that she loses, she gets a bullet in the shoulder.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, oh, that hurt. And I'm like, listen, if you get Cloris Leachman shooting you with a gun in the shoulder, you'd be like, God damn it, Cloris, my shoulder is bleeding, you motherfucking bitch. These bullet bouncing bracelets do not work. Fuck you.
Cloris Leachman. So when I was age 7 and 9, that was when I first fell in love with Wonder Woman. And back then also, a neighbor had thrown out, not thrown out, it was an older gentleman. We had just moved into the country, we had just moved into America, the United States of Fierce America. And he gave us over 600 plus comics. And my parents threw them out just because the word God was not mentioned in them. It was considered idolatry to read the comics. But before they were able to throw them out, I was able to get a few copies of Thor. And so I always wanted a hammer like Thor and bracelets like Wonder Woman. My brother at the time was, I think he was in the sixth grade, and he had to take a shop class. So for his shop project, I asked him to make me two bronze bracelets like Wonder Woman. I took a golf stick and took a sledgehammer, and I forced the head of the sledgehammer into the golf stick and made my own Thor hammer. And I used to run around with the two.
That just explains your whole drag aesthetic to this day.
Exactly. Half woman, more butch.
Vivacious, it's a thank you so much for celebrating my birthday and giving the audience a big slice
Happy
of fabulousness.
Birthday to you. That's all I can sing, honey. I'm not a singer.
Is there a Jamaican version of that song?
No. All it would be is happy birthday to you with a Jamaican accent.
Happy birthday to you with a Jamaican accent.
What isn't there like a black cake? Not like race, but the cake is actually the color black.
Right. There's a cake in Jamaica. It's actually the color is really dark brown, because it's also brown mixed with purple from all the currants and the dates and the different ingredients that
so
goes into
cake.
It. It's a fruit cake, but it's a black cake. It's called a black cake, but there is more flour that makes it a cake than a fruit cake. And it's one of the fiercest things. Most Jamaicans, it's also doused in alcohol. It's a cake that it can actually last over 4 years.
Damn.
If put up properly. Yes. So
the
most Jamaicans
do shit good.
Yes. Most Jamaicans will make that cake for like weddings, birthdays, and my mother is one of the fiercest ladies who know how to make that black cake.
So your mother won't let you read comic books, but she pours like a gallon of rum into a cake and eats it.
Well, let me clear that up. Her relatives will pour the alcohol in the cake. She will never.
Okay, so she does like a virgin black cake. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
She does the virgin Guadalupe black cake version of the Jamaican one. She throws down. So one of the things that I'm going to do, my mother's back in the country. She just came back last Tuesday. It's been on my mind for a while to go over to her house, as much as we don't get along, and use that as a family project to find out and get the recipe so I can learn how to make it. Because I believe that there are a few fierce Jamaican dishes that my mother does. And I'm like, if you had opened up your own restaurant, you would have been a millionaire. If you had opened up your own bakery, you would have been a millionaire. She also designs fierce church hats, but she keeps them only for herself. I'm like, if you were making church hats for years ago, you would have had X, Y, and Z in the bank. But guess what? She doesn't want to listen to a faggot telling her these things.
Just steal her hats.
So.
And sell them. Steal them and sell them.
Church hats. No, because, you know, I've learned a long time ago that she refuses to listen to anything that a gay person says to her, and more specifically, this gay person.
Well, because it comes from the devil.
Because, exactly, and then it would be admitting, it's also admitting the fact that, oh, the gay person is right, which is something she doesn't see.
Because the devil's going to make her horny.
not with her. There's an old house track called The Devil Made Me Wear This Dress. Y'all need to check out that track.
But basically, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, darling. And congratulations on finally making it to your 32nd birthday. I'm still 19. I'm the baby of the bunch.
Honey, I'm 45 years old, and I do not back down from a fight. I'm like, if I have to lip sync for my life, that bitch better watch out, because I'm coming for her.
I wish a club would have me and hire me and Charlie Heights to lip sync for their life for the two oldest bitches on Drag Race, so people could see what a real whole showdown is.
Because I'll be happy to send Trinity Taylor home, honey. I've been looking at. She looked good. She looked really good, though. That was a hard performance to beat.
She is an awesome lady, Miss Trinity Taylor, and she went out there and she slayed all of that. I'm rooting for her. You know,
well, she's
I'm
a rooting skinny for her. Bitch. She can move around because she don't got. She's a thin as a rail.
It's easier to dance when you're skinny.
Yeah. Like listen,
she also has youth on her side. Mm-hmm. Remember, age doesn't start.
She got 50 boxes of Botox, bottles of Botox in her face.
Right. And that alone is what's her that is her weight.
Yeah, that's how much she weighs. She's all Botox. So if you touch her, it's like a venomous fish. It'll sting you and freeze you. That's what probably happened. Charlie shook Trinity Taylor's hand, and she had so much Botox in her body, she just froze. Mm.
She froze in place, and Charlie realized that the only parts of her body that was not fully numb was her hands and her face.
Yeah, and that's...
But even though...
It was Botox.
Even though Charlie...
Thunder.
Even though Charlie stood in one spot and did her job, she still looked majestic in the face. Charlie, I'm sorry you did not perform, but that is your job. But I would say the best and good luck to you out there in the real world with all of this. Remember, even though they might try to stereotype you as she says she doesn't perform, you know the tricks that got you on RuPaul's Drag Race. Dig deep into yourself and use those to get you to that next level. Best of luck with that.
Mm-hmm. Best of luck to you, Vivacious.
Bye, darling.
Thank you, love.
Thank you.
Mother. Time to go work on some.
What?
Where is she?
Time to work on some.
Keep going.
Oh, I said mother has departed.
Has arrived. There departed. We go. Yes. I'm going to go work on my bitch tracks.
Get it.
Bye.
Get it.
Bye. Goodbye, Mark. Goodbye, Mark. Have a good night. Smooches.
Smoochies.
Vivacious lives in New York City. There is none other than Vivacious.
What a treat, huh?
Well, I just absolutely love her.
How many hours a week do you actually spend on the phone with Vivacious?
I would say about 6 or 7. As much, it's, you know, it's I can't charge my energy. Mm-hmm. You know, we charge each other's energies.
Okay, yeah. Now let's hear your best Vivacious imitation.
Mother, wait, mother has arrived. No. What should I do with this dead body that's in the living room? Feed it to our queen. All right, Vivacious. Eat it up. No. Some other queen.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feasttofun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. If we don't have listeners to support the show...
We ain't gonna be here, honey. For my birthday, I want people not to send presents, but to make a donation to my favorite charity, Feast of Fun.
And you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate.
You know, because basically Feast of Fun does a lot of things for you and creates Cooking with Drag Queens. We do this podcast. We able to tell people stories and do it in a way that's entertaining and fun. Excuse me. That's a little bit of my birthday cocktail coming up. And we're, you know, if we don't do this podcast, who will? Mm-hmm. Right? So yeah. We rely on your support. We rely on your financial support to make it happen. And we thank you for all the years of your support and your friendship and your listenership. And here's to many, many more. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.